What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in for another installment of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find these episodes as well as some of our past recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find those just by searching Settle Down Podcasts on each of those sites. Also, be sure to check out some of our social media. We use Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on all three of those platforms. Thanks so much for doing that. And enjoy episode 29 of In the End Zone. Peace.
Yo, yo, yo. What's popping?
What's up? What's happening? Welcome back to my library. New cap.
I know, new
bookshelf. New bookshelf, you know.
Speaking about the team that's on that cap, they're playing well. They're playing well. But we are not here for that. We are here for week 29 of our episode. Keaton, how we feeling?
Hey, listen, you people right there.
29? Maybe not week 29.
Get it?
I guess it's the same thing, either way.
Hey, you people right now, get it through your thick skull. This isn't episode 27. This isn't 28 or 30. This is 29, okay?
29, mofos, 29.
Get it through your thick skull.
You ain't 30 yet.
You still in your
20s. Anyways, week 29, episode 29, whatever you want to call it. We are without one of our partners today, unfortunately. His camera on his laptop for some reason just took a shit, so we're here with two of us today. We got a pretty jam-packed episode. Talk about some of the stuff that's happened in the last week in the offseason. A lot of random stuff, honestly. But before we get into it, Keaton, how's your week been?
I don't know. It's been a weird week, to say the least.
Yeah? What's happened?
I don't know. It was just kind of mid, to be honest with you. Like, but not in like a bad way, just kind of in a, okay, there we go. Not in like a bad way, but yeah, there we go. Just kind of in like a, type way. And, and then I found out my dishwasher is like probably broken. So I probably have to go get a new one, on Saturday. So
never,
you know, it's not that bad. Luckily though, this weather we were having in Boise is super nice. So, it's been like 70s. Saturday is supposed to be like 75-76, no wind.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's looking up. Okay, you know, dude. It's on the come up.
Yeah, well, went to it's Shields. Really nice here too. So, I think it's like 80 degrees today here.
Yeah,
and by here I mean SoCal, so it's been pretty nice, dude. I literally went to the gym today. This is one of the weirdest injuries I think I've ever had. So I'm doing leg press, right? On my last one, I'm going to failure. I squeezed really hard my whole left side of my lat. Not even just my lap, but like my whole left side on my back is like tender now. Like it literally feels like I strained it doing leg press.
Weird.
Never had an injury like that. But other than that, it's been a good week and I'm ready to talk some football. And like I said, there's been a lot of interesting things. Getting right into it, we talked about this kind of last week, but Rashee Rice, go for it, Keaton.
Yeah. So, you know, this week has been, I'll just preface. This week's kind of been a nothing burger in terms of like all like the who's getting traded and who's getting signed. But
probably the worst week of the offseason.
Yeah. This is kind of like this is no man's land because we have in 2 weeks we have the draft. So next week is all draft talk. This week there's nothing. It's you know, this the calm before the storm. Anyway, that being said, thank God for Rashee Rice because he keeps our news going. You know, thank God for Corvettes. Anyway, So Dallas police. So if you guys didn't watch last week, Rashee Rice, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, he got into a little speeding frenzy with his friends, and not only totaled his black Corvette, but a rented Lamborghini Urus, and. Yeah, it's kind of speculation on what had happened, what was going to happen. And today, the Dallas Police Department issued issued some warrants in regard to a serious bodily injury crash that took place on March 30th. Rice, who is 23, is facing 8 counts of aggravated assault, including aggravated assault. Collision involving serious bodily injury and 6 counts of collision involving injury. This is stemming from a chain reaction.
Did something happen afterwards?
I have no idea. Possibly.
That is wild.
Basically, it left 4 people with minor injuries, and not only his Corvette, and Lamborghini were involved before other innocent vehicles were involved. And so they go on to say Theodore Knox, who was determined to have been driving the Corvette, has also been issued an arrest warrant and is facing the same counts, according to the police statement. The passengers in the vehicles will not be charged. That's kind of it. And then Rashee Rice posted on Instagram that he is going to be turning himself in. And he basically said, I'm taking full responsibility. I'm really sorry this happened. I'm going to cooperate with all the authorities necessary. And, you know, obviously, I mean, it's just like, it's not great. You know, at least he didn't kill someone like Henry Ruggs, unfortunately. And I don't mean that in like a humorous sense. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it sucks because we're at this point now where we're so used to things being as dramatic and drastic as they are that we kind of disregard stuff like this.
Downplay it.
Yeah, we downplay it. Like,
if this happened to like your cousin or like a family member, you'd be like, whoa, like, dude, are you good?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? But it's kind of a normal thing in professional athletes.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing as well, is like, they're professional athletes. Like, professional is their first word. Like, yes, they're professional at what they do, but they're also paid to be professional off the field. And a lot of these players don't, but the NFL, because they make money off of them, don't really enforce these rules. And so I doubt we see anything from the NFL side. In terms of like a suspension or any punishment, probably a fine. Maybe the team finds him, but yeah, we'll see what happens. He probably gets a light sentence because he's, you know, got money. So that's that news. Yes, go ahead.
Number one, Rashee Rice.
And I'm listening.
The XFL. I mean, I don't know if he's actually going to be in the XFL, but if he is and everything goes through and he actually gets in trouble and the Chiefs release him, he'll most likely actually have a second chance, but that's more me joking. Second of all, what do you think is the solution to that? Like, there are so many athletes that do this all the time. And we look at this, and again, like we said, it's something that's normal. What's the solution to these athletes doing these wild things that we typically don't see in civilians, but getting away with it? Like, is it to a point where the NFL needs to hire therapy and everyone needs to go to therapy until they get to a certain age? Because it doesn't happen a lot with... No, I shouldn't even say that. Never mind, because we're going to be talking about someone here pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen it in Richard Sherman, who's been out of the league for a couple of years now. Like, we see it all the time. And I don't know what the solution is.
It's hard because, you know, you especially in the offseason, you know, these guys just kind of do their own things. Like, they're not really employed. They're they're still part of the team, but it's not like they're, you know, they're playing. They're just kind of gearing up. And so... It's hard to have.
It's just training and partying.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the NFL as a whole does have kind of a serious issue on its hands with these players just not being great people and making dangerous decisions. And I think from a team perspective, I know that they have like quality coaches, you know, like quality control coaches. I kind of want to say that they need something like that during the off season, like a check-in person.
Yeah.
But also I guarantee
then you're getting that,
exactly. And then you start falling in like the freedoms term. And I don't really know if there's a way to fix it. I think the NFL from what they could do is just start enforcing actual like suspensions and massive fines and not just because you represent the NFL. And if this was a Patrick Mahomes style player, he'd be criticized to the ends of the earth because he is a Patrick Mahomes level player. He also wouldn't be fined. Like, he wouldn't be suspended because the NFL makes money off that. And the NFL's a business.
Just get a slap on the wrist. Now, do I think Rashee Rice will get suspended? Yeah. I don't think so.
And even if
he was released by the Chiefs, I think he gets a second chance. Like, I want to say Rashee Rice, welcome to the XFL, but he's going to get a second, third, fourth.
He didn't kill someone.
He's 23 and talented. Right.
Yeah. And he didn't. Yeah. So I think he'll be fine. It's just unfortunate that this keeps happening because it's clear that players don't learn from situations like Henry Ruggs. And granted, Henry Ruggs was drunker than a skunk, but it doesn't take away the fact that he was speeding in a black Corvette at a, you know, kind of in a busier area, although a little bit different than a freeway and a one way. But it doesn't feel like there's that, like, there's enough there that the NFL is doing to prevent this. But at the end of the day, I don't know what they could do. And you know, we'll lead into it, but I think this is also kind of an issue with players after they leave the NFL and now that they're fully on their own with money.
Well, before I don't know if you mentioned this, but they found 10.8 grams, which is less than an ounce of marijuana. I don't know what the suspension rules is with that or what the policy is with marijuana, but that might play a part in how he gets in trouble and what happens to him as well. But like you were saying,
possibly
go for it.
Yeah. When players get out of the NFL, we tend to see a little bit more of like heightened for most players that just kind of go out into the realm of non-existence in terms of, you know, like they're not in media and they're not in coaching and they're not on social media. We don't really hear from them unless it's bad news, which is unfortunate, but it's kind of the way things are. And we today had an incident that Terrell Suggs, former linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, was arrested on yesterday he was arrested on charges for threatening and intimidating on charges of threatening and intimidating and disorderly conduct with a weapon. This was stemming from a March 10th incident outside of a local Starbucks, according to police reports. Yeah.
Starbucks?
Guy got a... Yeah. Brother ordered a venti caramel frappuccino and they gave him a vanilla bean frappuccino.
Yeah.
Apparently, Suggs, who's 41, was driving a black Range Rover that had driven past the drive-thru order area. Upon backing up his vehicle, Suggs allegedly made contact with another vehicle. While there was no damage to the vehicle, an argument ensued. And per the report, according to police, a second argument ensued as Suggs left the Starbucks and he allegedly threatened to kill the victim and brandished a handgun in his left hand. So police stated that Suggs did not point the weapon at the victim, but the victim is believed that he was being threatened. And this is Suggs' statement, because obviously after these guys get out of the NFL, they don't always have like a PR person to handle these. Right. And he said, I was in a quiet area of Scottsdale in the middle of the day in a Starbucks drive-thru near my home when an incident happened with a vehicle behind me. I was getting coffee. I was not looking for any trouble. When the man in the other vehicle escalated the situation, I feared for my safety, not knowing what his intentions were. Okay. Throughout the incident, I was the one who felt in danger while fearing I would be followed home for the safety of my family nearby at my residence. So he doesn't play into the idea that he brandished a weapon or that he threatened to kill. So there's no really like update from that. It was published today, right before we started recording. So we don't have anything more than that. But still, again, it's just another one of those things where it's sad to say, but we don't really hear of these players unless they kill someone. They get in the news for the wrong reasons. And this is no different. He made 7 Pro Bowls, was a defensive player of the year. No doubt, probably a Hall of Famer, at least in the Ravens Hall of Fame. But yeah, it's just sad, man. Two sides of the story. So we don't really know what's true. So I'm not going to play into either side. But obviously if Terrell Suggs was arrested, there's obviously enough evidence there to charge him with an actual crime before it goes to sentencing. Because you do need evidence for it. So it's not like Suggs is being, you know, 100% studious in this. He wasn't, I don't think he's 100% innocent.
No. I mean, he didn't necessarily say a lie, but he's not telling the full story if he does get arrested.
Exactly.
Which doesn't really surprise me. It's like, who would? Like, you're snitching on yourself, which is smart, but it's also like, what's going on with Terrell Suggs, man? Like, what's going on with these retired athletes? Why are we doing this? And again, like, I think this, and I'm like, I think it's genuinely because they just don't have a schedule that they can stick to.
Yeah.
And this is why you see like a lot of these professional athletes lose money, because they don't have a structure. They don't wake up at 5 a.m. They don't go and work out. They don't go to the gym at the facility. They don't go eat with their homies. They don't go to practice, all this. They can literally do whatever, and they have millions of dollars just to spend.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's a gambler's paradise.
Yeah.
And again, it's not gambling. You could do it with drinking. You can do it with a gun outside of Starbucks. Yeah,
you could do it with anything. You could do it with anything.
It's wild.
I think to your point, like, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I played 6 days of JUCO of junior high school football during summer tryouts, and so I understand what you're talking about, right? Like, I get it. As a former football athlete,
I get.
You know, as a former football athlete, you know, there's but no, I understand. I think there's a big thing about structure, and it's kind of, you know, we see the same thing about a lot of professional athletes, and not so much baseball, just because it's kind of a different scenario. But basketball's
very much so. That's actually a great take.
Yeah, but basketball. No, you're good. But basketball is a big one where all these players, their entire life, they've just done one thing, and they've gotten up and they've played basketball. They practice for 8 hours a day and then they go home. And it doesn't change when you get to the NBA and all of a sudden you have money. The difference is between having money and having money and like being wealthy is that when you have money like that, it's coming in consistently. And for a lot of these players, yeah, they made great money. It's not what they made. It's not what they make now. And so the money back then is skewed, but there's no more money coming in. And it's that similar concept of why they go broke, right? Because they keep spending like they're in the NBA, but there's no, they're not making investments on that. So they're buying depreciating assets and value.
Yep.
The similar concept in lies with this, because there's no structure, right? Like you do the same things every day. You get comfortable with your routine. Your routine ends and suddenly you're bored, and there's still that. I'm not going to speak against Terrell Suggs, but he's an aggressive person. And so you have to be aggressive to play the position that you did and as well as you did. So you sometimes still have that aggression in you when certain situations like this arise. And so,
regardless, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
We'll see though. Hopefully he doesn't get arrested, but
yeah.
I mean, it seems like
he did get arrested, but I wonder if he'll get sentenced. You know, that's the important part.
Sentence is the word I'm looking for.
So,
but moving on, the NFL just announced something that was pretty cool. Keaton, you kind of brought this up, so go for it.
Sure. So the NFL announced its week one international game. A lot of people thought it would be another English game, another Germany game, something over there. Actually, they went very, very, very south. They went to Sao Paulo, Brazil, which is pretty crazy. It's the first America.
Honestly, I love that.
Yeah. First place in South America to host an NFL game. The furthest south I believe they've ever been was Mexico City. This is significantly further. But it's going to be week one, Packers versus Eagles. Eagles home field advantage doesn't mean anything.
It's going to be a great game.
Dang,
that's crazy, dude. I thought it was going to be hot as hell in there because of Brazil. It's really not going to be that hot. It's going to be like mid-70s.
No,
it's got to be humid as hell. Yeah. It's just going to be nice.
Their weather's pretty tame.
Dude, that game is going to be around that time. That's going to be a really good game. Really good game. So I'm excited about that. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's going to be a Friday night game, which is sick. So everyone's just going to be able to, because
that's even sicker. I didn't know that.
What's cool about this and kind of what I love and hate about these, like the games in England and Germany, is the time frame that they run these games. As fans in America, we have to wake up super early to watch them. Brazil runs on just slightly past East Coast time. So we're recording at 8. We're recording at 7 Pacific Standard. In Brazil right now, it is, I want to say it's 11 o'clock p.m. So the Friday game is going to start at like 4:30, 5 o'clock p.m. our time.
So it's not going to be one of those Europe games where you have to wake up way early on a Saturday.
Exactly. It's actually going to be like in the evening.
Right.
Time right now in Sao Paulo is 11 p.m.
That's sick.
So, yeah, it's if a game starts for them at like 9 o'clock, it's only going to be 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern, and then so on and so forth. So,
yeah,
kind of cool.
That's dope.
So,
going back to more of the free agency, Kevin King signed with the Falcons. We've been looking for this contract for a while now. We can't find it, but he hasn't played since 2021. And I believe last year he didn't play because of personal reasons. I don't really know what that means. That's what I saw. 2021, he signed with Green Bay, or he was signed through 2021 with Green Bay. He got hurt, so he has not played in 2 years. But, I mean, this was a name that we heard for a while, and he just signed with the Falcons. Another big name that we saw was Josh Allen with the Jaguars.
Yes.
He's been really, really good in the last couple of years. He signed a huge contract, 5-year, $150 million. So shout out to Josh. I like Josh.
Yeah. And not to be confused with Bill's Josh Allen.
Just
for people to know, this is the defensive Josh Allen.
I thought you were going to say something else, but you did not. And then Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar signed a contract with the Patriots, which is a 4-year, $58 million contract with $32.5 million guaranteed and a max value of $66 million. Keaton, what stands out to you out of these?
I think the Josh Allen one stands out to me the most. I think very quietly, because he plays on a small market franchise, he has carved out his legacy in terms of Jacksonville status. And also in terms of the eyes of the NFL, he's a premier defensive player.
Very good.
He was the 7th overall pick in 2019. He's only 26 years old. But just to highlight this, I mean, he's a 2-time Pro Bowler, right? But it's hard to be a Pro Bowler in that position because there is so much talent. He was a Pro Bowler last year, though. But he, in his career, he's had two interceptions, one of them for a touchdown, 9 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, 8 pass deflections, and 45 sacks. He also was second in the league last year for quarterback pressure.
Last year he had a crazy season. 66 combined tackles, 17 and a half sacks, 1 interception for 8 yards. I don't know about forced fumbles. Let's see if I can see it. Forced fumbles, he had 2. He had, that's it. And then whatever you said, what was it, tackles for loss? I don't know if I have that here, but he was second in the league for that too. So, I mean, he was top 5 for some major, major categories.
God, yeah, 17 and a half sacks is crazy.
I did not know that. I thought he had more like around 15, 17 and a half.
See, and that's the thing.
Oh, no.
No, probably, he's tied second. Yeah. Tied second.
Watt had.
He had 11, or no, he had 17 tackles for a loss.
TJ had 19. Yeah, he probably.
Yeah, he had 17 tackles for a loss, 33 quarterback hits. Yeah. God, I mean, his previous high was 10 and a half sacks, and he's not really, I hate to say it, but he's not really been known as a sack guy, and he doesn't have to be. He's a linebacker. Most linebackers are not designed to be guys that just can go and bum rush the quarterback. 17 and a half sacks as a linebacker is pretty nuts, man.
It's wild.
I think it's a great contract. Obviously, that is a huge hit or miss contract too. $150 million.
That's a lot of
$150 million for a defensive guy. Don't get wrong; he's only 26, but you're signing him until he's 31. And usually, we see defensive players kind of start to kind of the flame starts to wear out by about 30 years old. So, I think it could be a great move.
I think it's a great move. By the way, but I have a crazy question. And, you know, we've looked at some of these divisions. We know some of the ones that are really good. But do you think the AFC South could be the second best division? Like, I'm looking at this, bro, and I don't see another division that, like, really stands out. I think the NFC West is very good. I think that the AFC South is better than the NFC South the NFC North. I think that that's pretty close. The NFC East, I would take them. Yeah, that was actually maybe not the greatest question. Maybe they're like third or fourth, but they're definitely on the rise. They're definitely on the rise. Okay. I think they're better than the AFC East. I think the AFC North is better than them. I think that they're better than the AFC West overall. The NFC East and the NFC North is a toss-up. The NFC South, they're better than. And I think the NFC West, you could maybe make an argument depending on how good the Rams are, because I still think Arizona's in a rebuild and Seattle's kind of joining that rebuild status right now. Yeah. So
Seattle might
I
be
think
it.
That they're Seattle's, one of the better divisions, and they've been one of the I worst think, for a while.
I'm looking at all the teams right now, and I'm kind of going through this, and I'm just going to point blank say it. I actually think they're the second best division in all of football.
Dude, I think they might be too.
I think the AFC North is just better because of the experience and talent. I think the AFC South could be the best division in football by the end of this year. And when we think about it, Tennessee's Tennessee, right? And this is where that classic divide. And that's the thing. And so the AFC North is probably still going to be there. This is like my dark horse kind of, you know, division.
Yeah.
But the Colts finished 9-8 with Gardner Minshew as their quarterback. And don't get me wrong, I like Gardner Minshew. He did a decent job as a backup. He's what you want in a backup, but he's not Anthony Richardson. Jacksonville, right? Jacksonville started out the season crazy, man. They were cooking. And then they lost like seven of their last nine. But truth be told, I don't think Trevor Lawrence was healthy all year. I think he was dealing with shoulder issues that plagues Baker Mayfield in that similar sense. And it caused them to lose games because when he wasn't on, they weren't on.
We're really high on Houston.
Houston, honestly, I'm looking at this and I don't see another team other than Kansas City that I think could seriously go for that elusive, two, three loss season.
I would be shocked if Houston did not finish in the top three in the AFC. I would be shocked, genuinely. I think the winner of the AFC North could maybe be second. I think maybe the Chiefs could be second or first. One of those teams could be first or second, I think. And then Houston, they could be top three, if not first. Mm-hmm.
I would be shocked if Houston is not the best team in the AFC next year. I'm just being honest. I would be shocked if they're not the best. I'm sorry, but here's what we deal with. You know, we deal with Baltimore. Baltimore was a great team last year.
Dude, yeah. Speaking about that, I'm looking at this. There's a net points category on the NFL.com. They were insane compared to everyone last year. 203 net points, which basically means, if you guys don't know what net points is, it's the difference between the points that they score and that they give up. 203 was better than
everyone. Niners were next.
And the second Dallas best and Niners. Was Dallas at 194.
Yeah. And Houston only had 24 net points, right? Their defense wasn't great. No. But they've revamped the offense even more than they were before. And also, this is kind of my thing, is I think the AFC North has better teams than Houston. But I also think the AFC North has I think because the AFC North has better teams, it causes I think it's going to be much closer this year. I think you add Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, you get a healthy Joe Burrow, and all of that combined creates more tension and stress on the Baltimore Ravens win-loss record. I don't think it's as good as it was last year, especially since they lose defensive coordinator Mike McDonald to Seattle. And I think that with what Houston's done and them only getting older and more experienced and bolstering their roster, I think you could seriously look at them as the perennial – and I'm just saying regular season because the Chiefs are still going to be there. But I truly think the Houston Texans are the perennial team out of the AFC. I think they will be the best team out of the AFC.
The only other division that I think you can make an argument with would be the NFC North. Mm-hmm. Genuinely. I don't think the NFC West has the firepower throughout the whole division. The NFC South, I think, might be one of the worst. The NFC East, again, two good teams, like you said. The NFC North, I think Chicago – again, I've been saying this, but I think they're a real dark horse team to make the wild card.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if they were last in that division. I think Minnesota will probably be last in that division. But again, I look at this team, I'm like, or I shouldn't say team, but I look at this division and I don't know. My eyes are just drawn to Houston, man. Like, there's something about Houston that I look at all these divisions and I'm like, dude, they're better than all these teams on paper. Like, they just need to put it together. But I'm also looking at the AFC. I'm like, who's making the wild card? Who's going to make the wild card? Like, Miami might have a worse season. I think they will. I think the Jets are going to be way better. I would honestly put – I think based off the odds, I would put money on the Jets winning that division. I think the Bills got way worse on their defense, and they got rid of some targets that they needed on offense and they desperately need still. I think Miami got rid of a lot of defensive players that they wish they probably didn't, but that was, again, cap space because – some of the players that they've signed, and then they're going to have the problem with Tua again. I mean,
you want to hear something crazy? So we're talking about net points, right? And I'm kind of looking over this. The Washington Commanders points allowed, which is how many points they've given up collectively as a team, 518 points.
Oh my God.
I just want to say this. The next closest was Arizona at 455, but every other team in the NFL had less than 430. Almost 90% of the league had less than 400, and they allowed 518. Their net points was minus 189.
which is the worst in the league as well.
By far. By far.
Oh my God. That is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty nuts. And I mean, you ask like who could come out of that division?
Dude. Okay. I think the AFC. I was really about to ask. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm not
I think the AFC North really is all kind of just right there. What?
I was just going to ask you if there were any teams that were above 500 with negative net points. Look at the AFC North. That's a great fucking example. The AFC South, another good example.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's that's a couple the thing. Teams, it's like because dude,
they were, and that's the thing that the North, I think, and that's my point. And all of the AFC North got better. And actually, I want to make the argument that the Baltimore Ravens might have gotten worse. I think they're the only and I'm talking not offensively, I'm going to say strictly defensively. They lose their.
I agree.
They lose Patrick Queen, best, a
couple cornerbacks.
They lose the best defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Coordinator too. That's a great point. Yep.
And they lose one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Some cornerbacks. They had Derrick Henry. This is going to be the AFC reign is like fully here. It's always been the NFC thing. I look at this and the AFC West is going to be meh. You know, the Raiders might be a little bit better. I think they could maybe push for a wild card, but it's hard because you have the Dolphins who will be decent, the Bills who will be meh, the Jets who will be decent. Like that whole division's got to have a slugfest. The AFC North and the AFC South are two going to.
Yeah, like what?
And the AFC South and AFC North are probably going to claim both wild cards, all three wild card spots plus the divisional. Yeah. You're looking at eight teams for three spots.
The AFC North took all three.
It's possible.
We've never seen that.
It's entirely possible.
I mean, they were close this year. They were close this year.
Other than Miami, they had it. They actually had the tiebreaker over Jacksonville and had Miami. Yes, they did.
That's right.
Yeah, they had it. So it could have happened. It truly – and it can still. It can still because Miami's Miami.
Dude, I really look at the – okay, actually, I want to jump into this. This was one of the other topics that we had, and it was the Super Bowl odds. I want to pull this up because I think this is really fucking interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for cussing.
Sorry, brother. if you can say it, I can say it. Sorry.
8 days ago. Let's see.
8 days, boy. 8 days ago.
Odds.
Yeah, I saw it's like Seattle is like number one Super Bowl odds.
Okay,
or something.
Here we go. Yeah, I doubt it. So I believe this is updated. Hopefully it is. February 9th. Okay, so yesterday. So we were talking about a lot of good teams, right? We were bringing all these teams up. I genuinely think the NFC is like half of what the AFC is, which is a crazy thing to say. And that was what I was going to bring up is I'm not too worried as a Niner fan to play a lot of these teams. I think the NFC North is going to be good. I don't think the NFC East is going to be that good. And I was going to bring this up. Guess who has – oh, wait, maybe that's changed. Hold on. No, yeah. Guess who has better odds than the Texans in the NFC?
Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Dallas Lions 49ers. Not even the Eagles.
Well,
the NFL Super Bowl odds right now go 49ers, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills. The Bills still, Lions, Cowboys, Texans, Bengals, Eagles, Packers. Look at that. I'm confused. I think the Texans should be maybe where the Bills are at four.
Well,
I like the Lions there. I like the Lions there.
Well, okay, Dallas, get them off there. But at the same time, they're Dallas, so they're going to be there, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, odds are also kind of a popularity contest. And truth be told, the Niners and the Chiefs, they deserve to be there, right? Ravens, they deserve to be there. The Bills, one of the most popular franchises among young kids because Josh Allen and whatever, they're for some reason they are like the pinnacle small market franchise that's popular.
It doesn't make sense. They had a bad offseason.
I think the Lions absolutely deserve to be up there. I think the Lions absolutely deserve to be up there. They reached the NFC Championship. They were oh so close to making the Super Bowl. Let's not forget. I mean, they had the Niners on their heels.
Big time.
The Cowboys one kind of makes sense because we know what the Cowboys can be, right? Like against subpar teams, we know what they can be. Against great teams, we know what they aren't. And in the playoffs, we definitely know what they are. They're not. That's what I'm saying.
Like in the playoffs, like I don't know how you can have them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or the third best team where, out of seed, knowing that they're going to lose the playoffs.
And this is what lies my issue. And, I'm actually just gonna pull up a visual of this. This is what lies my issue. Is it's also a popularity thing. And so when you
That's what I'm looking at.
When you break down, you know, popular teams, those teams are also going to have a leg up on the competition in terms of who could possibly, you know, who could possibly make a playoff run. Hold on. There we go. That's what I want to do. I think the popular opinion is that the Cowboys, you know, like, because they have the most fans, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. It's Cowboys fans say that every year. So they're just betting on their team.
Holy moly, the Falcons that high is kind of crazy too.
I know. And the Jets being there, we start getting here and we're like, you know, but the Jets being up here makes no sense. I don't think the Jets have any chance.
Not yet.
But then again, it's betting on them. So like someone's betting on them, right? Like fans are betting on them. Bengals, I don't, you know, it's just after.
Well, you look at some of these too.
Seven. It starts getting skewed.
Sorry, go for it. Yeah.
No.
I mean, you look at it too. The different websites show different odds. Like what's the fourth one? Is that, what is that?
DraftKings.
DraftKings has the Chiefs as the favorite, but every single other one has the 49ers. But I mean, again, you look at the odds and they're basically saying that the Lions, Cowboys, were the Texans there too? The Lions and the Cowboys and the Bills have the same odds of winning it.
And you got, and what's funny is on DraftKings, on DraftKings, the overwhelming, the odds are that are that Dallas, it doesn't even deserve to be up there. Same with MGM, which is this one, the one highlighted. Everything highlighted in yellow is basically the highest that they're favored, or like the lowest that they're favored, and plus 1800. And you start looking at the teams. Okay, MGM has it that the Texans are up there. Yeah. The Bengals are higher than them. Eagles are higher than them.
See that.
So I think this is. I actually, you know what I'm realizing? I think we're looking at this all wrong. I think for the majority, like this is all neat and tidy. But if you start going through the breakdowns, like 1,500, 1,400, I think it's based off an average. 16 and 14. I think,
if we were to make our own list, who would be your top five Super Bowl odd teams? I think I would rock with the first three, and you could flip the Chiefs and the 49ers. I'm cool with that, but I think I'd rock the first three, and then I'd go Lions, Texans.
Yeah. Well, I actually don't.
I mean,
me personally, I would go the first three. No, actually, you're right. That's exactly what I would do. Is Lions, Texans. Yeah.
If you want some betting advice. The team with the best odds, in our opinion, is Houston. Yep. We don't condone betting, but
hey, I know ball, brother.
Bet on Houston, brother. Speaking about that, actually, that's another thing I want to pull up.
I was going
to
say this. Actually, no. Let's touch into this. It's relevant to the topic at hand.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about Houston, and I think Keen's going to pull it up, but. Sketch actually got to run some routes with CJ Stroud and all the boys from Houston.
Oh my God.
I think it's awesome, dude. I think it's awesome. The NFL posts him, everything. Literally, he's on a different wave right now. I've never seen anything like this.
This is the most
generational
run. I'm like, I literally just typed in Sketch and I'm just gonna,
it's everywhere.
This is a baseball clip. This is a baseball clip, right? Of a home run. And this is the top thing. After I typed in Sketch, this is on Root Sports, right? He hit the brother after he hit a home run. What's up, brother?
Crazy.
All of March Madness, we saw it. All of, you know, I mean, this guy's kind of everywhere. But yeah, this is the, let's see if we can find the clip. Hold on. Here we go. Yeah. So Sketch is playing against CJ Stroud.
And then he drops it. No.
There was a picture of him with like CJ Stroud, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that picture was tough too.
The picture was tough, man. And it's funny because they interview him after.
Let me see if I can try to find it.
They talk to him after and he's like, I've got no idea why I'm out here. Like, why did they invite me out here? It's crazy because, you know, it feels every now and then like you get this streamer that just goes on a crazy run and like their life has changed forever. I feel like Sketch is like such a wholesome dude. Like fans made the right guy famous.
Yep.
You know, and also perfect timing with the Houston Texans being the Houston Texans is being like one of the most talked about teams.
I can't find the picture.
Yeah. Here's another clip of him like talking
anyways
to CJ, awesome, basically though. Saying like, you can't guard me. Look at him. He's shaking his head and then just ran this goofy little, and then he drops the ball.
He just took off.
It's funny because he's like, if you watch his huddle he's highlights, awesome, he's actually like a good player.
Yeah. He's an athlete.
Yeah. He's an athlete. Shit doesn't show wild, it then, dude. But
good for him.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, Tank right Dell, CJ Stroud. Yeah, we did. Anyway, I did want to say this. We talked a little bit about the Ravens and kind of what they've lost. And this was something I kind of saw earlier. So I've been trying to keep up with the Seahawks news. It's been quiet, obviously, before the draft talk. Don't really want to reveal much, right, as a team, but. Uchenna Nwosu tweeted out something, and I have it pulled up here. He basically said during his press conference, Uchenna Nwosu, for those who don't know, is Seattle's premier edge rusher. When he's healthy, he's one of the better edge rushers in the league, and I think he's due for a breakout season. That's just a homer pick. But he said he basically came out and said he thinks the Seahawks coaching and regime change has brought the locker room and players closer. And he said, I think we've got the right coaches now. And to hear that is really not, you know, it's really like, ah, man, finally, like my prayers were answered. Right. Cause I was worried. I was like, what if this doesn't work out? Obviously there was no way in hell that it was ever going to not work out, but it's nice because I saw another clip. There's a beat reporter or a beat writer for Seattle sports named Bob Condotta. And he went to the Seahawks, like kind of like film room / like auditorium, and the famous basketball hoop was removed. And there's always for the longest time been a basketball hoop in there that players could kind of shoot on just to have fun, and to look at it, not be there anymore and kind of read why, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, my Coach McDaniel is basically saying, hey, like we're here to win. We're restarting all this stupid, funny stuff that you guys had fun doing. It's not going to fly anymore until we see success. Yep. And it's nice, man. A lot of fans were bitching about, oh, we're not doing anything. Like we're not splurging in free agency. And I think for them, it's hard because they have to accept that there's a new regime. You know, there's a new leadership and a new core. And you know, they don't have Clint Hurd anymore. No more Clint Hurd on defense. Ryan Grubb is now their offensive coordinator. All coaches are gone and they brought in new ones. And from everything I've read, it sounds like these guys are the best case. So I'm excited. I know we're not going to do anything this year, but it's nice to know, like, finally the right move was done to benefit the organization as a whole.
Right.
So yeah, kind of cool.
Who do you think you draft? I'm just curious. We'll talk about this more next week, but
I don't know. A lot of people want quarterback. I want quarterback kind of, but I don't want quarterback early on.
Junior, huh?
Hold on. Freaking hair in my mouth. Sorry. I do really want Penix. I think he's homer pick again, but everything I've seen out of him, other than the fact that he's a left-hander, I think he's the most overlooked quarterback.
And the national championship.
I know. And I don't know, man. It's hard. Obviously, the offensive coordinator is Ryan Grubb, who called a good chunk of Penix's plays. So there's that connection there. But I think we probably go offensive first.
Yeah, I could see that too.
I could see us taking a defensive player, but this class is so loaded with offensive players.
Yep.
You know, we Mike McDaniel can coach. I truly think he can coach.
he can coach defensive players that aren't that great, you know? And he came out and he basically said, like, I don't want defensive players that can come out and just play great. He's like, I want to feel like the offense is playing against 14 to 15 players. So I want defensive players that are going to fit my scheme. And that's why we got rid of big names like that, like Bobby, unfortunately, and players like that. I honestly think we go offensive line and then get a quarterback later on. I think if you can finish building that, you can start to finally get back to those days. And especially with the Niners, you know, it's you can't. Geno Smith gets no time in that pocket. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, two things. I mean, I agree with you. Michael Penix would be sick, but I don't know if you can reach for him there.
Well, we probably don't.
I don't think they will. So I think an offensive tackle makes the most sense. The Niners are actually looking for an offensive tackle too. There's been rumors that they might move up the draft board and try to get one. So I'd be cool with that. But there's a ton of offensive talent in the league right now, or that are coming into the league, excuse me. But with that being said, I think the offensive tackle position might be the overlooked position in the draft, if not the most overlooked position in the draft. I mean, there are a lot of good offensive tackles, so I'm excited about that. Kind of leaning back into Seattle, I guess the Seahawks held a visit with Chase Claypool. Again, I haven't heard Chase Claypool's name in a while, but how do you feel about that, Keaton?
So this is funny. I find this hilarious. Chase Claypool is such a bum. He came out earlier in the year and I think it was last year and basically said, I'm a top five wide receiver in the league and I'm not getting the ball enough. And then they start throwing him the ball and he starts struggling. And then, God, that is crooked, isn't it? Is that crooked?
Dude, I low-key think mine is too, and I don't think it is.
Yours doesn't look crooked. I know. Okay, I'm just going to leave it. Okay, that's better. Anyway, Claypool is just – I mean, he comes out, I'm a top five wide receiver, and then sucks, and all of a sudden he finds himself basically out of the league. I mean, this guy's literally not even on a team. And it's funny, they tried him out. They haven't signed him yet. I don't think they will. I don't see where he fits that offense. Dude, just being
– I'm not going to lie. I forgot he was on Miami.
I know.
I thought he was on the Bears. He went from the Steelers to the Bears to Miami?
Yeah, he played for Miami for like – 5 games last year.
I'm going to be a top 5 wide receiver in the league. 8 receptions, 77 yards, and 1 touchdown on the whole year.
Yeah, and he got traded for a 7th round.
He just had an average Brandon Ayuk game.
Dude, he got traded for a 7th round pick for 2025. Literally,
oh my God.
He was traded for a pick for not even this draft, but the draft after.
It's ridiculous, dude.
But yeah,
eight receptions, just, 77 yards, and 1 touchdown on the season. I mean, I think, a typical game for Brandon Ayuk last year.
Yeah,
like, I think that's the average typical game for like a wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 2. Like, that's ridiculous.
I think he's the perfect embodiment of how to like completely derail your career in a few bad moves when you're not that type of guy, right? Like, and
you know what was even crazy about that? He said that in front of Hall of Famers.
I know.
I'm pretty sure that was on Deion Sanders' podcast, or like a podcast that Deion Sanders was on, and he said that
it was
something. It was him. What's the other dude's name? Ryan, the safety from Pittsburgh that retired a bit.
Ryan Clark.
Yes, it was all them. Yeah, I'm like, dude, you can't say that in front of some Pittsburgh legends too. Like,
yeah, I know.
Oh my
and you're
God.
Not producing. So
wild stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anything will happen. Right. Well, do you want to talk about this last thing with the Micah Parsons and we'll wrap up this?
I mean,
this kind of what's kind of what wild, we thought dude. Was going to be a short episode.
I don't have a.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach. You brought this. I can talk about it if you want. I've got it pulled up.
I don't have the photo on me right now. So if you do, unless I have it right here.
Oh,
no,
is
I
there
don't.
A photo? Oh, I've got the
maybe,
whole article.
I don't know. Yeah, just pull up the article. I think that's what it was. You pulled it up. But
yeah,
I mean. Hold on. Before we even continue, I just want to get like a headliner out for this. And the headliner for it was Micah Parsons is wearing thin. Micah Parsons is wearing thin in Dallas. What?
Call that boy a condom because he's wearing
thin. What is that? Yeah. Ultra thin fucking condom style. Like what?
Ribs for her pleasure. Yeah.
That is insane, dog. What are we talking about here? How is he wearing thin? I honestly think it's his off the field stuff. It's got to be.
Well. Yeah, well, and they're not
happened?
Saying the
team. Is there a story behind it?
Yeah, so And I'll kind of highlight the article here so people can also see what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should do this more.
At least different people.
Oh yeah. So
I'm Stan talking Sharif about at least four different people who have told me that Micah has worn thin there.
Yep. I don't know how much is true, and I don't know how much it actually hurts. I don't know whether this is the behavior of a typical superstar. I don't know how damaging it is, but all I do know is I've heard from way too many people that if Micah Parsons was out of there, there'd be a decent amount of people inside the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco smiling or breathing a sigh of relief. Apparently he's, and you know, the kind of the article goes on to say like, well, what has he done that's been so wrong? And this kind of, you know, he criticized the coaches. His brother was kind of part of that. Like, you know, his brother like got involved and was like, my brother bust his ass and he gets nothing out of it. And then, he criticized, you know, moves that they made and there's just some off the field issues. And also, you know, it's kind of funny because when you break it down, a huge issue as well is the CD Lamb stuff. CD Lamb,
that's a big one. Said
he's holding out till he gets a big old fat juicy contract, which he does deserve. He's one of the top 10 wide receivers in football, probably top five.
Actually, I just saw another thing. This wasn't even on our list, but Devontae Smith does not want quote unquote wide receiver one money, which means he will be getting less than $25 million a year. So that's a good thing for the 49ers. However, CeeDee Lamb holding out is not a good thing for Brandon Ayuk in that contract. And both of them are wide receiver ones. I'm going to say it. Brandon Ayuk's a wide receiver one on the 49ers. He's going to get paid more than 25. CeeDee's going to be closer to 30, especially on that Cowboys team. That's going to be
what
wild.
They do with...
Micah Parsons, I don't know exactly how he blamed the coaching staff, how he criticized the coaching staff, but he did on the loss to the Green Bay Packers. And I'm assuming that's in the wild card game, correct? Mm-hmm. In the playoffs? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking at that and everyone's like, oh, Micah is so good. He's so good in the regular season. He did this in the playoffs. He has not done much at all in the playoffs. And it's like,
you can
blame the coaching staff, but if you're going to do that, you better show up in the playoffs. You want to hear his stats in the playoffs?
Go ahead.
2021, nine combined tackles, zero sacks. 2022, two games played. That was one game played in 2021. 2022, two games played, seven combined sacks. He was averaging 3.5 and a half a sack per game. He had one total. Okay. Last year, dude, when they lost to Green Bay, he played one game. He had one tackle and zero sacks. How can you have your family and people defend you and talk shit like, oh, he's so good when you're not doing shit in the playoffs? Like, the regular season's awesome, but you're not doing anything. So why are you talking?
Yeah.
Like, if anything, there should be criticism, again, I think, at the coaching staff and at you. Because if you're not producing, you can't talk. Which he has been producing a lot. But I don't know. I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like he's just not hitting his own in the playoffs. Maybe he's, like, getting double-teamed. They're better offensive lines. These are the best teams in the league that you're playing against. So it makes sense. But it's like, you can't criticize and then not take criticism and have everyone on your side talk all that shit, all that she, and then not do anything. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I agree.
Which frustrates me. And it frustrates me because he's a Dallas Cowboy as well. But it's also like, I see this dude and he's talking all that shit on his podcast in the offseason. He has people talking for him. It's like, dude, like, you can't do this. We've seen this happen with other players. It does not end well. Doesn't end well.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Dallas does from here. I don't know. That division is kind of a clown show. I'll be honest.
It's going to be odd. I still think the Eagles are going to win it based off of what they've done in the offseason, but I don't think that they're going to win it playing defense. I think they're going to win it scoring 30 points a game.
Yeah.
And
I'll leave you with this.
I don't think it's going to happen. I don't believe it should happen, but should the NFL have a relegation? And if you don't know what a relegation is, it basically means if the two teams, but if there are bad teams in the NFL, right, they basically are demoted to college football or the UFL, the XFL. They're demoted to the league under them. So, again, if we were talking about XFL, UFL, it'd be like, I don't even know where they would go to. Like, damn near
basically,
college
it's
football,
like,
just for reference.
Like,
but
yeah,
if it was
like
the NFL, they would go to the XFL, right?
Yeah.
So
it's like in soccer, they go – They go from Premier League to English Championship League One, or like English.
Right.
Like champion one, right? Like they go down one league to play in a basically exactly. The G League of football.
Gosh, so like last year, like let's just say two teams that we can think of would be like the Commanders, right? And the Bears, both mm-hmm. them were really bad. They would basically get demoted to the XFL. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's like
Panthers a thing. Should get demoted.
The Panthers would be the best pick, right? But all these teams, like if you're the worst in your division, this was the topic that I heard. You would be demoted basically to the XFL. Now, do they bring a team from the XFL up? And if they don't do that, do they just continue the competition with these great teams? Like we said, from the AFC North, AFC South, NFC West, like what would happen? It would be really interesting to see. I heard another topic. I'm like, if it happened in college football, what would you do? You'd take a team like Vanderbilt in the SEC and you'd move them to the Mountain West. And then like, would that just be yearly? And then they get a chance to go back to it. So I don't know. If the NFL was to, you know, have a relegation, I think they would have to actually think about it. But I don't know how it would work.
I couldn't see it working. Play.
Yeah. In the contracts that they get to, like, how would you kind of like sync that with the XFL? Like, if you're the two worst teams in the NFL, you go play in the XFL, the contracts are going to be different because of finances. And then it's like, you just did all that work to get to the NFL, but your team is shit, but you could be great. And now you're going to the XFL dominating. I just don't think it could work. I thought that was a crazy idea. And then the last one that we saw actually right before this are
right
the
this.
Third helmet option, talk that we've been hearing. So it's an article that we pulled up that we saw, and it basically says the NFL is to offer players 12 new helmets for the 2024 season. QBs will have two options. Let's see if I can pull up the actual graph.
I got
here. Okay. Yeah. Yep. This is what I saw.
Yeah.
So as you see here, there are a ton that you can actually wear, but there's some that are actually designed for quarterbacks, defensive linemen, linebackers, all of this. And I think it says it in here, but there was only like 12 players that actually wore the designed helmet that they wanted for them. So now that they've added a couple more, it's like, okay, are they gonna be able to, you know, promote this more and people are gonna wear it more? I don't know if this is a good idea. I think it's cool that they have a bunch of options you can wear, but I mean, again, this is kind of just for concussion base and head injuries. So I understand what they're doing with that, but I think the NFL and a lot of the players in the NFL don't necessarily listen to this because it's like, how much better can one helmet be than another one? And it's also like part of what you wear on the field is to be comfortable. So if the Riddle Axiom 3D, the one that's better laboratory performed or the best laboratory performed, is the most performance-based best one, let's just say that, but it's the least comfortable. It's like you don't want to wear that. You'd rather wear the Schutt, what is that, F7BTD2. Yeah, Schutt, I can't even read that. Or the Riddle Speed Flex. The Speed Flex is
like the Speed Flex is the most common one
forever, right? So
because it's the most comfortable. I mean, my 6 days that I played in junior high school, I wore the Speed Flex, you know.
Okay. But like it's just one of those things. It's like if the Schutt 4 or F7VTD2 blah 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 is
more basically if these top like, and that's the thing, like if these top ones are so great, they're probably not super comfortable, which is why we see the Speed Flex.
And I think it says it here.
And the Speed Icon is one of the most commonly used ones as well. For a lot of quarterbacks because it's super comfortable, or was like last year.
Okay, here it is. Yeah, the annual helmet testing by the NFL and the NFLPA is complete. 12 new helmets to choose from, including 8 position-specific ones for quarterbacks, offensive linemen, and defense linemen. And 6 perform so well, players wearing them will exempt from wearing guardian caps in practice. But then there was something... Dude, I know I saw it. Here it is. Still just 9 quarterbacks and 20 linemen wore the position-specific helmets last season. So it's like, dude, the fucking Schutt, whatever you want to say, is not going to be better than one of these that are not recommended if it's the least uncomfortable one. Like, they're going to pick it based off of what's more comfortable. And what I will say is these 9 quarterbacks and 20 linemen, and I don't know, I haven't really seen the performance results or the actual testing that they did. The science behind this, I have not seen. But I guarantee you these 9 quarterbacks and 20 linemen probably have families and are thinking about their future. Like, yep. They don't care about comfortability. So yep. That was kind of crazy to me. And then the last thing kind of playing off of that, the NFL just announced.
Yeah.
The NFL just announced that they are allowing teams a third helmet design, which will be basically for their alternate jerseys. So that's pretty cool too. Those were two things.
We'll see
that kind of wraps it up. Rush.
Yeah. We'll just basically be able to see like a color rush jersey and all that. So, or a color rush helmet color and colorway. So, that's our episode. You know, it was kind of a, you know what? I'm pretty impressed. We turned kind of a nothing burger of a week into an hour long episode. So, you know, we can get through this, you know,
we went from habit to in and out real quick.
Oh my God. You mean habit being like the best version? And that was a nothing burger. So anyway,
thank you for listening and watching. Please like, follow, and subscribe. Keaton.
Please like, follow, subscribe. And then next 2 weeks from now, by the way, the boys should be getting together by about 6 o'clock live stream. Standard do a live stream to watch the NFL draft. So we'll be doing a live play-by-play analysis for that. And try and make it fun. So thanks for watching this episode, and peace.